Well, I love a good Christmas movie. And not those Hallmark Channel emotional manipulation ones. I mean like a real classic Christmas movie. And I have a very specific canon of films, films that I believe are the Christmas movies. Right? You got White Christmas, Miracle on 34th Street, Rudolph, Frosty and the Grinch, Charlie Brown, Muppet Family Christmas Together, Muppet Christmas Carol, Christmas Vacation, Home Alone, The Santa Claus, and Elf. Die Hard is a gray area. Now, this is my official classic movie canon here. And if you have others that I did not include, you're welcome to come make your arguments to me after the service. I had several people lobbying for Love Actually at the previous service. I get it. It's just not one of mine. Now, as I say, there's all these movies. It's so funny because they all approach the holiday in unique ways. I mean, Home Alone and Miracle on 34th Street could not be more different. Or at first glance, White Christmas and The Grinch, definitely apples and oranges. And yet, for all of their uniqueness, they all share something in common. And it's not Christmas. I mean, though they are all tied to the same holiday, that's what makes them Christmas movies, they share something in common. As I started to think about all of these movies, these cultural expressions from across decades of film, every single one of these movies is as much about trouble in relationships as it is about Christmas. I mean, pick one. Pick any one. And you'll find the entire film revolves around a problematic relationship, or like a dozen of them. I mean, just try to show me one healthy relationship in Home Alone. I dare you. Try it. Or I mean, think about the little misunderstood reindeer outcast in an entire island of misfit toys in that classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Or the lovable North Pole adoptee who just wants to know his dad in Elf. Or there's the workaholic, overdriven archetype who needs connection and friendship to experience the true meaning of Christmas, which actually is White Christmas, Miracle on 34th Street, A Christmas Carol, and The Santa Claus. Like that. Oh, and Scrooge, right? Like you've got this whole collection of them. It must be something we all have to look at. See, when movie makers try to capture the holidays, they all seem to find stressful, complicated, anxiety-filled relationships to be a common human experience. In fact, the wife and mother in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Ellen. Oh, Ellen might have said it best when she offered this pearl of wisdom to comfort her daughter. I don't know what to say, except it's Christmas, and we're all in misery. Relationships are hard. And then you add in the expectations, the traditions, and all the busyness of the holiday season, and suddenly relationships that are already hard just get harder. And so as we light the second candle on the Advent wreath, as we anticipate God's gift of peace, perhaps our relationships are a good place to focus that peace is needed. Much like our Christmas movies, the Christmas story, the Christmas story in the Bible, not the Christmas story that rotates for 24 hours on TBS. The Christmas story in our scriptures is a story about relationships, and problematic, difficult ones at that. I mean, you've got the bravery of a young woman and her relationship with this new life. You've got the steadfastness and grace of a young man and his complicated relationship with his now pregnant fiance. You've got the edginess and pushback of a prophet calling out in the wilderness. And let me tell you, calling people a brood of vipers, not a way to decomplicate your relationship. You got the shepherds, the wise men, the visiting angels. All of these characters have complicated, messy relationships with one another and with everybody. And yet, amidst all of those individual relationships, the biggest, most complicated relationship of the Christmas story is God's relationship with humanity. That's really what the whole Bible is about. The entire breadth and width and depth of our scriptures all comes to a moment of convergence in Bethlehem as we have to confront God and humanity's relationship. God's relationship with humanity has been plagued by people's broken promises, people's wandering affections, people's disinterest, empty promises. God's relationship has been plagued with complaining. I mean, a good quarter of the Bible is nothing but humanity complaining. Seriously, take a look. It's pretty much just people complaining, and it's not for nothing. The complaining we find in our scriptures makes a pretty good case as to humanity's frustrations in their relationship with God. There's some very valid complaints and lamentations. So what are we to do? What is God to do? Well, when confronted with a relationship issue, there is a piece of wisdom that I received from my parents that then was validated through years of lived experience, actually came up in conversation while I was in seminary working on a master's of divinity, and continues to be brought up by my therapist on a regular basis. You can't change anyone else. You can only change yourself. Christmas is a moment when God embodies that wisdom. God can't change humanity, not after giving us free will. God can't change humanity, so God changes God's very self. Listen to the beautiful poetry in the prologue of the Gospel of John. Now, this is beautiful poetry is built around this phrase, the Word. When you hear me say the Word, what I want you to hear is the very essence of the divine, the most infinite and encompassing concept imaginable. That's what the Word is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God in the beginning, and everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The scripture is read aloud every Christmas Eve as the Christ candle is carried up the aisle and out into the world, symbolizing the arrival of God's light. And as it's carried out, I certainly cherish those last few words of the scripture we read, and the darkness did not overcome it. It's such hopeful, powerful words. But those words become even more hopeful and more powerful if you keep reading in John. By the time you get to verse 14, you hear John write this: "The Word became flesh and dwelled among us." The very essence of the divine, the most infinite and encompassing concept imaginable, became human. A colleague of mine commented just this week that Christianity spends so much time focused on Jesus being God that often we miss the fact that God was Jesus. And this divine embodiment, this incarnation, offers us everything we need to bring peace to our relationships, because it reminds us who we are as God's beloved. The foundation of healthy relationships. The foundation of healthy relationships is an understanding of ourselves as loved and worthy. It has to start there. If we are insecure about our own value, we cannot be at peace within our relationships because we are not at peace within ourselves. But being secure in our own worth is not easy. And sometimes the very relationships we want to find peace in are the reason we feel devalued or insecure. So what are we to do? And then you got the good relationships, the ones that might be a little easier, a little more peaceful, and yet sometimes we're trying to fulfill our sense of worth based on another person's opinion of us. And we won't find peace there either. In fact, sometimes if we're looking to find peace based on other people's thought of us, all we will find is anxiety and worry. The peace of Christmas is God's embodied declaration that we are worthy. Let me make this a little more personal. The peace of Christmas is God's embodied declaration that you are worthy. God taking human form is an affirmation of our value in God's eyes. That being human is a worthwhile endeavor. It is this gift of Christmas that invites us to be at peace. You know, if you think about it, God became comfortable in a body so that we can become comfortable in ours too. And this is where we begin to seek peace in our relationships, from a place of security and a sense of worth and honor in God's eyes. For in those places where in life, our relationships are experiencing strain, if we can approach those places with a peaceful confidence, we have the greatest chance of healing and reconciliation. So hear that. It's not in what we do, but in how we approach it. And I tell you, in our quick fix, give me a list of steps, show me some before and after photos kind of world, this can be challenging. But finding peace in our relationships isn't about doing anything. It is about our state of being. I mean, because you can try every tactic, every method, every self-help book, every action to find peace in relationships. And some of those objectively might be the right choice. But everything we do, even when we're trying to do the right thing, is shaped by our state of being. And if we aren't at peace, we will not find peace. So I return to the wisdom that the only thing we can change is ourselves. Wisdom shown to us by a God who became human. And I pray that we might be changed into more peaceful beings through the realization that we are beloved and worthy by a God who is with us. And with an understanding that God's incarnation, God's physical presence in this world, is ongoing and enduring. For the same Spirit that became flesh in Bethlehem seeks to be made flesh again in each of us. God's expression and embodiment of hope and peace wasn't a one-time appearance. For the Spirit of God is alive in you. God's hope and peace, they are alive and burning within you. The love and joy we will symbolize and celebrate in the coming weeks, they too are alive and burning within you. And this light that shines in the darkness of a weary and restless world can illuminate a better way for all of our relationships. A way of peace. For the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Amen.